In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is the Holy Spirit? If someone were to ask you that and put a gun to your head, would you be able to reply in a responsible way? We think that we know the Holy Spirit, but he remains somewhat fuzzy, I think, in the minds of most of us. And there's probably a couple of reasons for that. One is because when we think of God, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became man, became one of us, and we can relate to that very easily. When we think of God the Father, for better or for worse, we have images, all of us, of fathers. Today, of course, is Father's Day. Some of us are fathers. Everyone has a father. And we connect that image, too, with the old man in the sky kind of thing that we think of when we think of God the Father. And so we have two relatively relatable personages of the Holy Trinity. But yet, when we think of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, things seem to get out of whack. We have what seems to be two, again, relatable personages, and recognizable anyway, even though the God the Father image is completely wrong, because God is pure spirit, and no man has seen the Father, and he who has seen the Son has seen the Father, and the Son is the express image of the Father. The Father is not the express image of the Son, so that's perhaps one image we should cast away. But the Holy Spirit still remains somewhat esoteric to us, something a little hidden, something a little out of reach. And so particularly on this day, on the day of Pentecost, we honor the Holy Spirit. We say the prayer, O Heavenly King, for the first time in many, many weeks. And we concentrate on who he is and what exactly his work is in the dispensation of our salvation given to us by the Holy Trinity. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit, of course, we know proceeds from the Father. We proclaim that in the Creed and as it is written in the Gospel, the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father. We also know that the Son sends the Holy Spirit temporarily. But it'd be a mistake to think that the Holy Spirit is somehow a tool or some sort of useful appurtenance to the Holy Trinity that the Father and the Son make use of, because that's simply not the case. The Holy Spirit also comes to us of his own accord. The Holy Spirit also sends the Son. The Holy Spirit is by the will of the Father and the command of the Son, the one that created the world. So the Holy Spirit is a complete and utterly unique, yet at the same time, completely congruent part of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is fully God, completely God. The Father has nothing that the Holy Spirit has. The Son has nothing that the Holy Spirit doesn't have. The Father and the Son together are in no way somehow over the Holy Spirit. He is an equal member of the Trinity, an equal hypostasis, as we say so often, someone who is in no way subordinated to the other members of the Holy Trinity. And this is very important for us today, because I think often the Holy Spirit is indeed used as a tool. It's something that we tend to think of, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon us because Jesus has sent him. It's like Jesus is sending his power in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that's a mistake. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit is a unique power to himself. Again, he has everything that the other members of the Holy Trinity have, lacking absolutely nothing. And he comes to us in certain ways, in some cases identically in the ways that we interact with the Father and the Son. The mystery of the Holy Trinity is something so great, so impenetrable, that we are cautious even when we speak of it. Because though we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three have distinctions. And the distinctions are only in that the Father is before all ages, the Son is begotten before all ages, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father from all ages. Those are absolutely the only distinctions that can be found in the Holy Trinity, because they all share one essence, one substance, one energy, one God stuff, if you will. They are all equal. And it's the Holy Spirit that tends to be, well, I think sometimes we think of Him maybe as the worker bee of the Holy Trinity. He's the one that's active, that's always going and doing things, that is sent this place or that place or this sort of thing by the Son in a temporal manner. And that, of course, is in many ways true. But the Holy Spirit also comes upon us at many, many, many times. And when we pray, when we're praying, as we often do, to the Father through the Son, but also we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the same manner, we pray to the Holy Spirit. And that's something which probably gets neglected quite a bit, hence the day today. This was a special day in the day of the church. This was the fulfillment of the prophet Joel when he said that the Spirit would come upon all people. This was the day when the promise of the Son given to him by the Father was fulfilled. This was the day when everyone in the world would become empowered by God if they but would receive Him. When the disciples all gathered together and the Holy Spirit appeared as of tongues of fire, and again, it's sort of similar to the way that when the dove appeared at the baptism of Christ, like as a dove, in the appearance of a dove, not necessarily a real dove flying around. So the Holy Spirit came not in literal fire, fire that burns, but as of tongues of fire. And as St. Gregory Palamas tells us, what could be more connected with speech than with tongues? And of course, the disciples began to speak in other tongues, so that everyone that was there around them could understand the gospel that was being preached, no matter what language they spoke. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that comes upon us, the gift of God that comes upon us to unite us, to keep us together. Whether we're talking about doctrines of the faith or whether we're talking about the community. If, for instance, someone hates another person, they do not have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings love and peace and unity to all. If there is divisiveness in the congregation, and perhaps the person causing that divisiveness is thinking, well, I'm right in this case, and they may well be right, that person does not have the Holy Spirit, because there is no spirit of divisiveness that is present in the Holy Spirit. It is only a spirit of unity, of love. If someone is preaching a false doctrine and they believe that they are right, they do not have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit cannot be divided. It cannot be partitioned. It can't be preaching one thing here and preaching another thing over there. That's impossible. The two collide. There is only one unity given by that Spirit. There is only one truth given by that Spirit. And so we need to use this as a barometer in our own lives to ascertain whether or not we are in union with God, whether or not the Holy Spirit is with us at that moment. If we are causing divisiveness, He is not with us. If we are angry at someone, He is not with us. It's impossible. The Holy Spirit unites. He brings together, as is demonstrated on this wonderful day of Pentecost, on this great day when God comes to us as the Holy Spirit, when God comes to us as the Spirit of unity. This is what we pray for on this day, my brothers and sisters. And as we come to these wonderful and astoundingly beautiful prayers of Pentecost right after the liturgy, listen to them and make them your own. They shouldn't be listened to and thought of as, well, is Father ever going to end? Gee, this thing is going on forever. My knees are killing me. If you're thinking like that, then your knees deserve to hurt. You should be listening to these prayers and making the prayers your own, imploring the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to be active in your every single moment, to guide you through all the difficulties of your life, to make you God-like. This is why we do this today. This is why we say these incredibly, astoundingly profound and deep prayers. Because this is the day of the Holy Spirit. This is the day when we explore who He is, when we come to realize that He is God. As much as God the Father or as Jesus Christ, He is God fully and completely. Let's understand Him. Let's know who He is. Let's never let Him slide into the background somehow. Let's never think that somehow, well, there's God the Father and He sent the Lord and the Holy Spirit's just kind of floating around there somewhere. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit is with us always if we are open to Him. What did St. Seraphim of Sarov say? Does everyone know this story? The story of Motovilov, his disciple. Does everyone remember this? When Motovilov wants to know, he asks Father Seraphim, what is the Holy Spirit? How can I participate in the Holy Spirit? And Father Seraphim takes them out into a freezing cold, snowy environment. And he says to him, servant of God, friend of God, do you wish to know what the Holy Spirit is? He says, well, right now, at this very moment, you and I are both participating in Him. He says, how do you feel? And Motovilov said, I feel a curious warmth. And Father Seraphim said, yet it's freezing cold out here. And you and I are both sitting out here on a tree stump in the midst of the snow. And yet you feel warm. And then Motovilov records in his account, he says, and then I looked at the face of Father Seraphim. And he said, imagine, if you will, the brightness, the radiance, the glory of the sun. And in the midst of that sun is a man's face. That is what I saw in Father Seraphim's face. It was such a brilliance, I can't describe it, yet I could look at it. And Father Seraphim tells him, he says, but this is the same way I see you right now, my friend. We must thank God for this grace that He has given us today, that we may both understand and explore and know what the Holy Spirit is. And Motovilov then says to him, but why does not everyone have this? And Father Seraphim says, there's only one reason why everyone does not have and is not aware of the Holy Spirit. And that's a willing spirit. Because they're not willing to follow the commandments of God. They're not willing to do the things that the Lord requires. They're not willing to live in the Spirit of God. And so He stays absent from him. And then He says those famous words, very famous words, at least to us Orthodox Christians, acquire the Spirit of truth, and thousands around you will be saved. Because that's what the Spirit of truth does. And another thing that the Holy Spirit does, there is no middle ground with Him at all. You can't really be lukewarm with the Holy Spirit. Because when someone acquires Him, and when someone becomes divinized or highly spiritual in their own lives, one of two things happen. Either people flock to them or people despise them. Because people who are lukewarm, when they encounter genuine holiness, they will react in one of those two ways. It's something that is so far from them that they can't bear it. or they will be attracted to it like moth to a flame. In the same way, on that final great day of judgment, when that great river of fire comes upon all of us, the Holy Spirit of God, we will either be illuminated, we will glow like gold in the fire, or we will be consumed. And that being consumed at that point would actually be a great grace for most of us. Because if we aren't illumined, we're not going to be able to stand in the presence of God. We won't want the presence of God. We won't want the Holy Spirit because He will be foreign to us. We won't know what He's all about. So pray for Him today. Pray for Him to come upon you powerfully in your life, to guide you, to help you, to make you all saints. You know, as pastor of this congregation, the burden put on me is, if you are not all saints by the time you get to heaven, then I failed in my job. And the Lord's going to say, what happened? And I'm going to have some answer to give Him. So that's why I encourage you now. Become saints. That's our calling. That's our calling. These saints that we see in these icons all around the church, this is what we were made for. This is what we should strive for. This is what we want to be. We have to get on that road. And no matter our faults and our failings, because many of the saints had them, that is what the Lord desires for us, to stay on the path, to stay on the road, to reach out as the woman with an issue of blood did when she touched the hem of the Lord's garment, asking for healing for our souls. This is what we do on this great and wonderful day. May the Holy Spirit of God come upon each and every one of you in a way that will simply knock your socks off. And may you struggle to be worthy of that grace all the days of your life. Amen.